What are kind of some of your favorite opening day traditions or things you love about opening day? Is there anything you do in particular? Is anything centered around the White Sox specifically?
I mean, you know, obviously it's always nice to see a win, which is what we did on opening day, which is with the White Sox. But nothing in particular. It's mostly just, you know, kind of getting ready for, and I mean, baseball, I mean, I'm starting to get back into it. So it's, and the thing about this year is that I'm actually watching a lot of games that are just not just the White Sox, but I'm watching a lot of the Cubs. I'm watching some of, you know, I saw some of the Angels a little bit. I like what I've seen from that, you know, Ohtani. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's the thing about, you know, whenever a new sport starts, it's just that, you know, you kind of get so into it. I've kind of been like, you know, basketball just finished up, and I was just kind of like getting sick of it, to be honest. You know, because it just goes on and on, the season, 82 games. And I think they spread it out a little bit even more. So, you know, that finally, you know, it's kind of coming to the end. So I'm not really going to be interested in that again until the playoffs, which is, you know, like in a couple of days. But with baseball, like, you know, really when a new sport starts, you just try to watch as much of it as you can. And, you know, I can't wait for what's more to come.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely feel the same way. I mean, it's definitely always difficult to get back in the swing of baseball when you've been in the football and basketball mode every couple of days, and then having baseball at your disposal every single day. To really follow it closely, I think it takes some dedication, but it also is really kind of fun because, you know, you get a daily dose. When you're like me, and you're a junkie like me, and you're a junkie like us, you need a daily dosage of it. And I think that's really
you are a baseball junkie.
Yeah.
Me, I am a casual baseball fan, mm-hmm. who roots for one of the worst teams in the league. I don't know, like, what do you do on stuff like opening day? Do you have a tradition?
So I really generally don't have much. I just usually, I mean, I do like to watch Rookie of the Year because it is a Cubs movie, and it's, you know, it's big, it's opening day. Because I've always been in school on opening days, that's always the problem. You don't really have a chance to get into school because you have schools, you have class, you have whatever going on. Sometimes you have work, whatever. If I did, I would, you know, probably if the weather was nice enough, I'd go get some hot dogs, put them on the grill. I love to grill them. It's my favorite ballpark food. And, you know, I'd sit and watch the game probably in my house where it's probably warm because, you know, even around here in the Midwest, we have a nice day right now. But for whatever reason, it's going to be cold again in a couple days. And, you know, you got to enjoy the nice baseball day.
If it was nice enough outside, that's never going to happen.
Yeah,
you, like, move to Phoenix or something like that.
Exactly. And then, so, you know, I enjoy that. I enjoy, you know, I'll listen to the games mostly because I like to listen to Pat Hughes sometimes more so than I like to listen to the broadcast on television. But, you know, I think there's any number of things you could do. I mean, you got your outfit planned, you got your whole thing going, and it's always something fun to do. So, you know, I mean, traditions, you know, are always fun. I think, you know, it also means something too, don't you think? Opening day kind of means something. I mean, whether it be the casual fan or to a diehard or, you know, a junkie like myself, as you said, I think there's something to be said about the fact that it's like the start of spring because people really think differently, I've noticed sometimes. I mean, and social media isn't necessarily the most 100% effective way to get an idea of how people feel, but just reading stuff on there, you get a different feel of people's emotions and how they feel and how excited they are for opening day in baseball versus the first NFL games, first NFL Sunday of the year. First NBA, first NHL, whatever. And it's almost as if it means something. And I'm not sure why that may be.
I think people just like watching baseball at a time like now is because it's just a reminder of summer, just right down the street. You know, we have nice weather today, even though it is pretty chilly at the same time outside, too. Like, it's nice, but it's also kind of cold.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the Midwest.
It's a little taste.
Yeah. I mean, well, I'm only wearing a T-shirt, so I'm not wearing, like, a jacket or anything.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's perfect if you got a jacket.
Yeah.
But just like me, you know, I saw some dude with a tank top.
That's a little crazy.
Like, yeah. But, yeah, no, like, just start of summer, you know. Mm-hmm. Baseball is so, like, so affiliated with summer because that's what everyone does over the summer. Like, at least once a year, you'll go to a game. That's a tradition in itself.
Yeah. So then what do you think, if I had to say, you know, not just about summertime, is it – what if you really had to say, do people – why do people keep getting drawn into baseball all the time? Is there something about – because, you know, people will obviously – we dedicate whole days to – to the NFL and to the NBA. But
and we shouldn't dedicate any sort of time to the NFL. Just, you know, I'm done with the NFL, man. Like, I only watch the Bears, but that's it.
So then why does baseball struggle sometimes, do you think, to draw a huge gathering, to draw a religious following, almost religious following the way that the NFL gets?
I think, you know, I mean, do you think basketball has overtaken baseball as a popular sport?
I think it has been for a while. I don't think recently. If I really had to guess,
Since Kobe was playing,
Kobe, I might take it back to Michael Jordan, because before Michael Jordan, every different kind of crowd, and then Michael comes along and just takes over everything, and now everybody wants to play basketball, everybody wants to play football, nobody wants to play baseball anymore.
Yeah, no, like. I mean, that was my point, basically. It's just that the game has changed so much. I mean, well, the game actually hasn't changed that much in baseball, but in terms of basketball, the popularity, and people love NBA social media, which also, I think, has become, you know, one of the most, it's obviously, like, the global, it's probably the number two or three global sport behind soccer, and maybe, like, something like cricket or something like that. But the thing with baseball is that it's kind of turning into hockey, I feel like, where, like, the stars aren't really that marketable. But you see with the Cubs, they have some marketable stars for sure. But other teams like, you know, I know the Angels got Mike Trout, but who else, you know, in the American League are we really looking at, you know? Like,
yeah.
I don't really know. Like, the Indians made the World Series. Is there anyone on that team who's, like, really, you know, well-known culturally? So basketball has just become very culturally relevant, and NFL has always been. Baseball, yeah, it's kind of losing that touch.
Yeah, it seems so. So what, I mean, going back to the kind of opening day and stuff, like, I know we kind of talked about I touched on kind of food. Like, what do you like to eat at the park? Because I love when I go to the games, I love going to the games. I loved planning out what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to drink, and how I'm going to go about it.
Let's see. I like, you know what? I'm really boring, man. I like popcorn.
Nothing wrong with popcorn. I enjoy popcorn.
It's the perfect sporting food event.
Yeah.
It's like you got like all this popcorn. we saw a softball game. I had popcorn.
Yeah.
And you just chowed on that stuff. And then you got honestly, I can't even think. I mean, I obviously, you know, if there's like soft serve ice cream, you know.
That's totally a classic. Love totally. The ice cream. Love the ice cream.
If it's soft serve especially. And what else is there? I mean, there's hot dogs, which are okay.
The hot dogs are, yeah.
But, I feel like with hot dogs, it's really, it's bland in a way. It's kind of like a chicken sandwich.
It's hit or miss for me with hot dogs. And the reason for that is how they're often prepared. When we went to the Sox game last Saturday, I was absolutely taken aback by it. I wrapped the hot dog in a head. It was like charred. I was like, they actually cooked this over a flame? Yeah. They didn't, like, steam it or anything? So that's the way it's got to be done for me. Because I love that when they're, you know, I go to the Cubs games and they're grilling the hot dogs at the stands. And they throw the grilled onions on them. That's the way it's got to be. And then you smother it with mustard, and it's just a big old mess, especially on the poppy seed bun. Got to have the poppy seed bun.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. It doesn't add any flavor or whatever. It's just enjoyable because it's got poppy seeds on it.
Well, I will say that the White Sox stadium does have better food.
I'm slowly but surely coming along to that realization. There are things at the Wrigley Field that they do have that I do like better.
There are things that are also specific to, like, Wrigley Field and stuff like that.
Although, I mean, I got to admit, if I had to say so, I do like the fact that the Sox have that batting helmet filled with ice cream.
Yes.
Quite expensive, but if you got a few friends, it's worth tackling.
Yeah. Or, you know, if you could just do it yourself. If you're Brendan Welper.
Yep. So let's just get right to then. Projections. I can probably safely say what I think the Cubs are going to do now versus before when the season started, when everybody was 0-0. Same thing with the White Sox. What are your expectations, or what do you think they should be shooting for? What do you expect them to do this year last year?
Coming into the season, I expected the White Sox to be to win about 110 games. No, I expected them to win probably somewhere between like 70, and if they were. Like, if they were good, they could get to 80, maybe, like, 82 or something like that. But, and, like, I also had this feeling after, like, seeing how they finished last year, because I think they won, like, 67 or 70, something like that.
Would somewhere in the upper 70s be, in your mind, progress in this rebuild?
Oh, yeah, totally, yeah. I mean, I think at this point, you know, they have the farm system. They're just trying to get those guys up. And there's this whole baseball, the salary cap, like, it really screws players over. Because the salary cap, because, like, how it works is that, like, you can take someone to the minor league, so you don't have to, like, give them, like, a max contract. Mm-hmm. I know it's not how it works in baseball. It's like, it's not, there is no salary cap, I guess there is. So the rules of baseball, the minor league to the major league, a team, I think they have this with Chris Bryant, arbitration or something like that, where you can take a player to the minor leagues and they'll be paid that much, and you can just kind of call them up so you don't have to pay them as much at the end of the season.
So that's
always an issue, but I guess you don't have to worry about drafting as much if you're in a position like the White Sox, because at this point you're just trying to get those players up there and at the right time, you know, make all those plays. I mean, we saw it with the Cubs. It took a couple of years. Really, it was that second year, that they won. So, honestly, like, I was hoping that maybe they, on the outside looking in, make it for a wild card if they were good enough. Because we're only, 3-7 or 4-7 or something like
Something like that.
So, you know, it's always a possibility if you're, like, you know, 10 games over 500.
Mm-hmm.
But what about the Cubs? I mean, I know they're expecting to win probably triple digits.
I mean, I wouldn't say triple digits. I mean, I kind of figured 93, 94 would be a healthy guesstimate if I had to say so. My problem with it is that so far is not that they're playing, you know, not that they're bad per se. It's just that they feel like they're greatly underachieving. And I know it's easy to freak out early in the season, but – you know, when they decided to fire the pitching coach, Chris Bosio, last year, and fired, what the heck is that guy's name? The hitting coach. John Mailey. John Mailey was the hitting coach. And the expectation was they wanted more consistency, specifically from the hitters. And we saw this during the 2016 World Series run, which was, you know, it was incredible, but they would go really hot at some times and really cold at other times, and they just barely woke up in the World Series to get it going and win that World Series.
Man.
I mean, of course they were the best team all year long, but it can be a number of things. They were the best team in baseball that year, all year long, but they were also a very, very streaky team in the postseason. So there's a little bit of luck, but there was also a little of they did earn it by being one of the best teams all year long. So back to the original thing was about hitting consistency. And so far this season, we're still seeing a lot of the bad hitting habits that supposedly got John Mailey fired as the hitting coach that they wanted to improve on.
And so no improvements.
And no improvements to this point. Guys are still kind of taking the same approach at the plate that they took before, and it's kind of problematic and it's almost worrisome. I mean, in basketball, when you get a new coach, it's about adjusting to a new system. And maybe so, there's not so much a system of hitting as there are just different tactics and approaches that different coaches have that guys are still adapting to. And perhaps that's the case with Chili Davis, that they're trying to do, and it's not going to happen overnight. But, you know, I don't play professional baseball, so I can't say for sure if there is some type of systematic approach the way there are systematic approaches in adapting to new coaches in football or basketball type of thing. So, you know, this is going to have to wait and see, but I'm still going to stick by my guess of maybe 93, 94 wins, and it's still good enough to make the playoffs, even as a wild card, if somebody in the NL Central comes out and wins more than that. So, I mean, any number of things could happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think barring injury, Cubs don't really have much to worry about. Mm-hmm. I mean, is this the greatest team of all time, like the greatest Cubs team of all time?
I mean, they did win a World Series, so yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard.
But, like, it's kind of like the Warriors, not exactly, because the Warriors was more, you know, if they get Bryce Harper, it'll be like the Warriors. But
it,
like,
will, yeah.
But, like, it's kind of like a step up from, like, between 2016 Warriors, 2017. It's, like, in between that range.
Somewhere, yeah.
Where, like, they got Yu Darvish, but you never know, actually, with Yu Darvish, honestly, because we saw in the World Series, who played pretty well until the last game.
Yeah.
But he's also, like, 30 years old, and they gave him, like, a
Yeah, that was also deal. Concerning, too. They did that with John Lester, too. So that may come back to bite them down the long line. John Lester's, you know,
he's like 32,
33 in there. They gave him about a 7-year contract in 2015, something like that. I don't remember the exact term, but it was a lot of money.
Yeah, and maybe the White Sox can get one of those hitting coaches because, you know, we'd always leave the bases loaded at least once a game, and we'd never get a run. That's usually the case, even like a sacrifice fly. I think that was when they got the run the other day.
Yeah.
It was just a sacrifice fly. Yesterday they got lucky. They hit a home run to win in the bottom of the eighth, Davidson. But aside from that, I mean, it's been pretty ugly with the situational hitting, as they call it.
Yeah, I would have to say so myself. So, I mean, I think that's about everything we got there. I mean, we know what we want to talk about.
Let's talk one more thing.
Okay.
Best World Series. Let's not count 2016. Let's not count 2011 because that was also great.
I was going to say that, too. I mean,
aside from those two, best World Series.
That I've watched?
Not like one series. It could be multiple.
I mean, if I had to guess, because I've been watching since, actually, the White Sox World Series in 05.
And to think about that World Series is that, like, you know, I'm not going to say that's my favorite one. I mean, like, it's obviously one of my favorites, probably number two, probably, you know, up there. But, like, that one, like, no, people don't understand. Like, yeah, they swept the Astros, but they won by, like, 5 runs, like, total. Like, they barely won.
Yeah.
Like, it was the closest sweep ever.
Yeah.
You know, game one was, like, a 2-run game. Game two, obviously, game, 7-6.
The winning one, they won 1-0.
Yeah, the 14th inning. It was like 2-1, the final score.
No, yeah.
But yeah, that was the
third game.
Yeah, the game, third game. Third game won, was 7-5 or something like that. But the fourth game, yeah, that game winning hit. I don't know what else. Cause
I had to pick, I'd say the 2009 series between the Phillies and the Yankees. And okay, it only went 6 games, but it was interesting for a lot of different reasons. Because, first of all, Pedro Martinez was on the Phillies all those years with the Red Sox, the Who's Your Daddy, all that jazz. And I think about that, but I also think about the fact that that Phillies team was, I mean, we haven't seen a repeat champion since the Yankees won from 98 to 2000. They won 3 titles. But that was the closest we've seen, and that was a really good team. That was a really good baseball team for a long time, and they still only got 1 World Series in 2008 when they beat the Rays. They almost beat the Yankees the year after. They took it to 6 games, but the Yankees being the Yankees just bought themselves a championship that year, and they were going to win. It didn't matter that they lost the first game. It didn't matter that the Phillies, I think, won a couple games at home in that series. I don't remember if they won 1 game or 2 games, but...
Well, that was a series when I think they went...
Or they would have only won one game, yeah.
Yeah, they won a game to make it 3-2. Like, they were down 3-1, and then they won game 5 or something like that.
And they had no chance, but it was still... For a Yankees team that dominated them so much, it was still a pretty entertaining series because both teams played very well managed, and talent-wise teams on the field just didn't work out for the Phillies. And, you know, after that, they only got, I think, to they got to the NLCS the year after that, NLDS, and they just slowly, and now they're in the midst of a rebuild, which actually could come together in this next year or two, depending on, you know, how things kind of fall their way. So, probably the 2009 World Series, if we're not picking 2011 or 2016.
I'd go with 08.
08?
Because that was, at one point, it was tied at 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think there was a rain. No, it wasn't tied. No,
it was 3-2. Yeah, it was 5 games. And what was interesting about that series,
there was a rain delay.
That was before Major League Baseball adopted their new rules on postseason rainouts. Because remember, how it was during regular season games now, which was if the game... The game is official after 5, so if you're leading after 5 and the game gets called because of rain, you win. And so whoever it was on the Rays got a base hit in the middle of a pouring monsoon rain, whatever it was, got a hit to save their season, even though they ended up losing. They would have lost. I think that would have been the only time we would have had a World Series lost in a rainout game.
That'd be really dumb if they won in like 6 innings or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're up by like 3-0 or something like that, or even like 2-1. You know, there's no one on base. That one was pretty good. There was also 2001, which is after 9/11, and like, you know, the whole everyone rooting for the Yankees.
I was gonna say that was the funny thing about that series is that was probably the one time everybody was rooting for the Yankees.
And they were going for the
four-peat. Yeah.
And then also the year before that, the Subway Series.
The Subway Series,
which
that
I think also went to 5. But it's always interesting to see something like that when it's like. Because I think in the NHL, we got the Flyers and the Penguins, which is pretty exciting. And then Minnesota and Winnipeg, which is like a 5-hour drive.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it'd be like if we had like Cubs Sox like they did in 1906.
Oh, that's coming.
Dodgers,
my friend.
Dodgers, Angels. Yeah, we'll get some revenge.
Dodgers, Angels. That'd be the most dead, like, the most dead, like,
cross-town series. Because we had Angels versus Giants in 2002. Yeah. That went to 7 games.
Yep.
And or maybe Oakland versus one of those things, because California's got all the teams.
Oakland versus San Francisco, yeah.
Before they moved to the AL, a Texas Rangers-Houston Astros World Series would have been something.
Yeah, that would have been sweet.
Yeah.